Cometh the hour, cometh the mothership, out of the black of the deep range, as Arthur C. Clarke so perfectly put it. And from an undisclosable location, for reasons of security and therefore insecurity, happy, happy Independence Weekend to you. This is Coast to Coast AM. Delighted to be with you for another Saturday night soiree. John B. Wells in the chair with you tonight. We will speak with, yes, Peter Lance. Now, you may recall hearing an interview with Peter Lance conducted by George Norrie on the 21st of May, talking about his new book, Deal with the Devil, about the ongoing, rolling relationship between the FBI and one of the most notorious hitmen ever in the annals of that thing, Mafia, La Cosa Nostra. But tonight, it is propitious that we should speak with Peter about some other revelations that have actually occurred to him some time back. He didn't really want to get into it then, but he's going to get into it tonight with us. Remember a couple of weeks ago, there was quite a bit of discussion about the, a revival of the missile theory in regards to TWA 800. Well, something blew. But by the time the discourse comes to an end tonight, I think we will conclude that the missile is the least of it. All right, got some heavy-duty hot news here for you. National Guard units seeking to confiscate a cache of recently banned assault weapons were ambushed by elements of a paramilitary extremist faction. Military and law enforcement sources estimate that 72 were killed and more than 200 injured before government forces were compelled to withdraw. Speaking after the clash, the Massachusetts governor declared that the extremist faction, which was made up of local citizens, has links to the radical right-wing tax protest movement. Blamed the extremists for recent incidents of vandalism directed against the revenue offices. The governor, who described the group's organizers as criminals, issued an executive order authorizing the summary arrest of any individual who has interfered with the government's efforts to secure law and order. The military raid on the extremist arsenal followed widespread refusal by the local citizenry to turn over recently outlawed assault weapons. A ban was issued on military-style assault weapons and ammunition earlier in the week. This decision followed a meeting earlier in the month between the government and military leaders, at which time the governor authorized the forcible confiscation of illegal arms. One government official speaking on condition of anonymity pointed out that none of these people would have been killed had the extremists obeyed the law and turned over their weapons voluntarily. Government troops initially succeeded in confiscating a large supply of outlawed weapons and ammunition. However, troops attempting to seize arms and ammunition in Lexington met with resistance from heavily armed extremists who had been tipped off regarding the government's plans. During a tense standoff in the Lexington Town Park, National Guard Colonel Smith, commander of the government operation, ordered the armed group to surrender and return to their homes. The impasse was broken by a single shot, which was reportedly fired by one of the right-wing extremists. 8 civilians were killed in the ensuing exchange. Ironically, the local citizenry blamed government forces rather than the extremists for the civilian deaths. Before order could be restored, armed citizens from surrounding areas had descended upon the guard units. Colonel Smith, finding his forces overmatched by the armed mob, ordered a retreat. The governor has called upon citizens to support the state national joint task force in its efforts to restore law and order. The governor has also demanded the surrender of those responsible for planning and leading the attack against the government troops. I recognize these names: Samuel Adams, Paul Revere, and John Hancock, who have been identified as ringleaders of the extremist faction, remain at large. Oh, this is old news. This is how the American Revolution began, April 19, 1775. Oh, well, sorry. Let me see if I can get something up here a little bit more current. How about that crash landing at San Francisco airport? Looked to me like it might have flared just a little bit low to the ground, ripped the tail off the thing. Hope everybody is recovering from that incident on July 4th there at the Simi Valley, where the fireworks, apparently the platform collapsed and started launching these big fireworks into the crowd, and a bunch of people were injured. It's ridiculous. Anyway, look, the whole point is this. In a minute, we're going to bring on Mike Adams. He wrote a what I thought was really quite a good article about the militarization of police and basically police gone wild, cops gone wild across America. I've been hearing about this all day today from Massachusetts, as a matter of fact, up in the Boston area. Even emergency services personnel, the medical types, screaming at people, can't carry anything into a public venue larger than a wallet, including your insulin. And again, screaming at citizens who are keeping their cool. Citizens across Texas, the Carolinas, mandatory checkpoints. In some cases, you will blow in the breathalyzer, or you will be removed from your vehicle, strapped to a gurney, and blood drawn for testing. So we're going to bring on Mike Adams here in just a minute. You know, I was thinking again, and it occurred to me all this NDAA thing. We've talked about the NDAA, about how you can be detained by the military without warrant, without phone call, without lawyer, without charges, indefinitely. They don't even have to tell anybody where you are. Under those circumstances, might not even be in this country where you are being detained. And from Doug Casey's International Man, titled What Real Independence Looks Like, this is from Full Spectrum Dominance, Nick Giambruno writes, in the light of upcoming Independence Day, because this was a couple of days before, I think we should consider the following question. What does real independence look like, and how do we personally achieve it? Anyone paying the slightest attention to the machinations of the welfare state knows what it does not look like. With confiscatory taxation at all levels, the gutting of the Bill of Rights through the so-called Patriot Act, the NDAA, secret courts, executive orders, indefinite detention, the need to be in compliance with an ever-growing stack of regulations, edicts, and laws, the militarization of the police, the use of the IRS as a political weapon, assassination of U.S. citizens without due process, indirect capital controls through FATCA, NSA warrantless spying, worldwide perpetual warfare with an undefined enemy, QE4 EVA, and never-ending stimulus efforts, ever-expanding welfare programs, domestic use of drones, stealth taxation by inflation, and a fiat monetary system. And this is not an exhaustive list. It is no secret that the U.S. of today bears little resemblance to the original American principles that at least preserved a certain degree of independence for the individual. This is just a short synopsis of the state of affairs right now. Imagine what the future will bring as the U.S. government, or any government, gets even more desperate as its fiscal situation deteriorates from the unsustainable spending from the policies listed above. Witness Egypt. 22 million signatures on a petition for Morsi to leave. Military finally has to say, get out. Now, some say they cut their money. But I think it's got to be something besides cutting their pay that resulted in this. But in any case, anybody's attempt to consolidate the Middle East under the leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood, I would say that's at least been deferred for the time being. All right, the only thing I can tell you is we're going to have some good talk, some good tunes, and a pretty good time tonight. I'll bet you. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stand by. We'll be right back with Mike Adams. Mike Adams, come on the bridge of the mothership without any further ado. Come most presently upon your hour, sir.
Hello, John. Thanks for having me on the show. Great to be with you tonight.
Hey, you know, well, it's good to have you here. I spotted your article on AJ's. That's Alex Jones's InfoWars, militarized police gone wild across America, and it's true. Certainly a case can be made for it. Shooting up vehicles, warrantless blood draws from driver, pet dogs, getting shot. I watched in disgust at that particular video. This guy was videotaping some police officers down the street, and he puts his dog in the car, and it didn't look like it's very old. It's a Rottweiler. It's like a year and a half old, 2 years old, something like that. And they just shoot the thing when it gets out and starts going, what are you doing? Yeah. The master here. They shoot the dog, and I didn't know whether I wanted to hurl or cry. It was awful. It was disgusting. And I, You know, I'm getting these reports from all over the place. I mentioned the program, if you heard it earlier, that, you know, even EMS people screaming at citizens who are trying to comply with their wishes and so forth. What kind of intelligence have you been gathering that led you to write this article?
Well, we need police. I want to be on the record and say that my whole background is being pro-local peace officers. You know, I've worked with local cops. I was given an award by a chief of police in an Arizona city. You know, I volunteered with cops. But what we're seeing now is that the idea of being a peace officer is being replaced by federal programs that are giving these police training as if they're military occupying forces. And federal grants are also giving them the kind of equipment that military usually uses for an invasion. This is the kind of thing you would have in Afghanistan, Humvees and armored assault vehicles on the streets of America. And I think it's very concerning that Obama, during the gun control debate, he said, you know, AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not on the streets of America. Yet it is his administration that has put Humvees and armored cars and full auto assault weapons in the hands of, for example, IRS agents who are not training with AR-15s. You know, that's on the record. So we've got this militarization of police who should be serving the local community, who should be acting in a very local manner, serving and protecting the public, but more and more are acting like, again, occupying forces as if they were running roadblocks in Afghanistan. And you mentioned, John, when we spoke earlier about, you know, cops being taking drivers out of their vehicles and strapping them down onto gurneys and forcibly taking their blood. And this is true. And I call it, John, I call it trickle-down tyranny. It starts at the top. It trickles down to the police to the point where we all feel the tyranny now. We're being terrorized. We're living in a de facto martial law scenario. The police state is here, John.
Well, I'm afraid you're right. And in talking with you know, several friends over the course of the long weekend, these little dome-shaped, you know, multiple-lensed surveillance cameras just being stuck up on telephone poles or power lines, whatever they're running over them, all over the, I mean, little neighborhoods, not big intersections. I pulled up an intersection the other day, a highway. It doesn't look like a, I mean, broad streets everywhere. It doesn't look like any sort of a be careful here. This is probably an accident-prone spot. Not at all. And I'm wondering, gee, why are 5 cameras necessary at this intersection? What is this all about?
Well, and remember,
go ahead.
They say they can videotape you because you have no expectation of privacy because it's a public space. And yet when you, a private citizen, attempts to videotape police, not getting in their business, not interfering, videotaping them from a very safe distance, sometimes 40, 50, 60 feet away, they don't like that. They arrest you and they prosecute you. And in fact, the California police that shot that man's dog that just happened a few days ago, the video that is shocking everybody all over the world, that shot the man's Rottweiler in cold blood, that man was doing nothing other than videotaping police, which is perfectly legal. So what this is really a sign of is the fact that anyone who works for the government now is being given complete immunity to all laws. They are above the law, and the laws only apply to you, the citizens. So we no longer have a nation where all men and women are created equal. We no longer have a nation of justice where we're all equal under the law. I mean, forget about civil rights. I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. None of us have civil rights, no matter what our skin color. None of us have civil rights because the government is immune to all laws, and we are targeted for selective prosecution by the IRS, by local police, by the Department of Justice targeting journalists. If you blow the whistle, if you're a whistleblower, you're going to be prosecuted. So we are no longer a nation of law, and that means if we don't turn it around, John, this will implode, it will crash, it will be very, very bad because it can't be sustained.
Well, I don't mind joining you in this chorus that, you know, I know several police officers. They're, I don't have some sort of a, you know, a a cop crush syndrome going or anything, but you run into them and they're nice. A couple of them in particular are just absolutely completely regular people, steady family people. They like this program. But the thing is that these fellas follow orders, and few would deny that there is an us and them mentality. It's the police department, the police officers against everybody else. They never know who it's going to be. Is it going to be the guy with his pants on the ground, or is it going to be the guy in a Savile Row cut suit? They don't know who it's going to be, so they have to be wary of everybody. I get all of that. But this is what I'm afraid of, Mike. As we militarize the police, this NDAA thing becomes even more threatening. And I say that because, let me see, how many executive orders has the current president signed into? Several hundred times more executive orders. I'm using the words, several hundred times more executive orders have been signed by this president than all the other presidents going back to Roosevelt. Several hundred times. So I wonder what executive order is waiting that would actually officially militarize the police, in which case you could be arrested by local police who have been militarized by imperial decree. See, this is all fine to support your president. It's fine to support your leader until it's you who are the victim of this kind of injustice, when your constitutional rights, I don't care if you're the most incandescent liberal on the planet or the hardest core right winger that anybody ever met, when it's your Alpha Sierra in the tank and you get no phone call lawyer or anything else, all you get is told what to do, and you better do it, what then?
That's it. When the process, the due process of law is abandoned selectively, then we no longer have any freedom. So the government has abandoned due process. The NDAA, as you said, a classic example. They can arrest you. They can detain you indefinitely with no legal representation, without even charging you, disappear you in a secret military prison, which Obama promised, by the way, he would shut down during his campaigning before the 2008 election. You know, many promises that turned out not to be followed through on.
He's done nothing that he said he would do. He's done nothing that he said he would do. I'm using the word nothing. Go ahead.
And so if we are a nation without law, then we are, by definition, John, a lawless nation. Now, let's zoom out a little bit and look at the global perspective of the United States. Just last week, the United States, through its influence, caused the president of Bolivia to be kidnapped and to force his plane to be diverted and land in Vienna because they suspected Ed Snowden might be on the plane. Can you imagine the outcry if Obama's airplane had been diverted by, let's say, Russia or China?
I got a better one for you, man. What if somebody was launching missiles across the border, or drones that they bought from China, who copied our drone, which they got from the Iranians? And they copied it, and they sent it to Mexico, and they want to knock out some cartel people because they made an attempt on whoever the president is down there now. And just blew up a few of our school children in furtherance of whacking out these horrible terrorist, say the Zetas, the deserters, the ex-military Mexican guys. Wonder how that would go over here.
Exactly. If every country in the world acted like the United States has been, with its imperialism, with its bullying, with its economic hit squad, as John Perkins talks about, you know, confessions of an economic hitman. If every country acted like the United States, we would call those other countries, we would say they're engaged in acts of war. So outside the United States, and by the way, I'm not anti-America, I'm pro-America. I'm one of the last few patriots of real America, you know, the real Constitution, the real Bill of Rights, like you and a few others who say, let's restore America to what it was. But the problem is that America is occupied at the highest levels by a lawless gang of mafia criminals. And they have earned a reputation of being an international imperialist criminal mafia bully system. And, you know, obviously I'm not holding back on my words here, John, but this is the honest truth of what other countries think about the United States right now.
Fastest segment I ever sat through, Mike. Stay with us for the rest of the hour, will you? We can rant and rave some more. But I tell you, this is Independence Day weekend. Now's not the time for us to hold back our speech. Now is the time to exercise our free speech before they decide they want to put a kill switch on everything, including Coast to Coast AM. That's from 1985, and what a prophetic song it is. You know, so that we could stand around out there, short pants, Birkenstocks, with our kids, licking on ice cream cones and watching fireworks. You know what those fireworks represent? The stuff blowing up in people's faces as a tyrannical empire was removed from the face of this land. And if anybody has a problem with me singing out about it tonight, well, I would say I'm sorry, except I'm not. I think what we better remember is that once you've lost your freedom, the intensity of the fighting you'll have to participate in to regain it is beyond anything you can possibly imagine. We had better get ahead of this thing. Good. Guy sent me an email a minute ago. He said, dang, Wells, you got me. I joined the program a minute late, and you were reading about an event. And then I realized, oh, it's the one that started the American Revolution. He was ready to go. Well, you just stay ready to go. We'll be right back with Mike Adams in just a moment on the legendary Coast to Coast AM. Mike, when I read your article, by the way, naturalnews.com, and Mike Adams is known as the Health Ranger. He's always bringing information to us that is valuable. He vets it thoroughly. He does his research. And he's a great guy, and we're glad to have him on the program tonight. I'm all fired up about this, Mike. I can't help it. That's why I called you and said, hey, come on, let's get on the air and let's talk about this, because I don't think the general population is aware of it. Only the ones who are experiencing it are aware of it.
Well, it's happening in such small increments that people aren't really noticing it. So, you know, the old boiling frog metaphor, but it's happening. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, if you had said, we're going to have these roadside checkpoints and they're going to forcibly strap you onto a gurney and take your blood, or we're going to have federal officers at the airport literally, you know, reaching toward your private parts and touching and patting your, you know, your body in these ways that many people consider to be, you know, very, very inappropriate. You would have said, no way, that can't happen. Some kind of dystopian sci-fi future that you're talking about couldn't happen in America. Why? Because America is a free country, and that's why the terrorists hate us, said George Bush, because they hate us because of our freedoms. So I guess taking away our freedoms is a way to get back at the terrorists or something.
Sure, if we can take all the freedoms away, the terrorists will like us. We can be friends. We'll all be terrorists together.
Exactly. So now, in order to, you know, stop this so-called terrorism, which I think is largely largely a hoax. I mean, I've asked people everywhere I go, have you ever seen a terrorist? Have you ever been threatened by a terrorist? Ever been hurt by a terrorist? No. It's like a boogeyman, John. It's like the government is telling us all to be afraid of a boogeyman that they call Al-Qaeda, which they actually fund in Syria, by the way. So we're supposed to be afraid of the boogeyman, and then they cite the boogeyman as the reason they're rolling out the roadside checkpoints and rolling out the TSA and DHS and the armored assault vehicles that are mine-resistant, and, you know, the nearly 2 billion rounds of ammunition that DHS has ordered and is stockpiling. It's all because of the boogeyman, John. He's going to get us.
Well, this is what's so ridiculous about it. Also from the, you know, Alex Jones just caught some heat from somebody, Beck or Geraldo, that mustachio dude. He looks pretty good for 70, actually. But other than that, it's... AJ caught some heat because they're saying, you're putting out facts that aren't proven yet. It's like, well, I really haven't seen very much that he hasn't been able to substantiate. In fact, I can't think of anything at this moment. There's another article up there now about the a New York country club. There was a woman there who decided to in a perfectly legal and proper manner breastfeed her baby, and this is Her husband, Toms, the first secretary of the Belgium mission of the UN, told the New York Post that a female employee of the club quickly interrupted Rosalind's perfectly legal and proper feeding of her baby with the sharp rebuke, "Please leave immediately, you're disturbing the members." When she said it only take a few minutes, female staffer insisted that she finish in the restroom. Then the Greenberg Police Department arrived minutes later with Detective Harding apparently yelling, "Close the doors," with two other diners ordered to leave the terrace, and then warned the couple they were trespassing, despite the fact the country club staff had given them specific permission to dine. Also said that some fearful members thought the man's black backpack indicated they were terrorists. And the most laughable, it says, if not actually true, is what the officer came out with next when a tearful Miss Raymonds asked why terrorists would breastfeed at a ritzy club. The response was, "In Sri Lanka, babies are used by terrorists." In Sri Lanka?
It's incredible. I saw that too. You see, this is the point. Rationality goes out the window. They can use any excuse they want to threaten or intimidate anybody they want. There's a case in Nevada right now where a couple is suing local police who they say the police raided their home, kicked down their door, shot them with pepper shot because they refused to allow their home to be used as a police stakeout headquarters, basically. So, you know, a Third Amendment violation, the quartering of troops in your home, that's going on in addition to the Fourth Amendment violations that are nationwide. But don't even get me started talking about Alex Jones and how right he has been over all of these years. Yeah, we both know Alex pretty well. I fill in host for him from time to time, and I'm there at his studios. Alex is the real deal. His staff is real. They're hardworking people. They're regular, everyday folks like you and I who are just trying to warn people about what's going on. And Alex was right on so many fronts. He's the one who said the government's listening to your phone calls, and everybody laughed at him and said, "No, ha, 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 what a conspiracy theorist," and so on. They were listening to your phone calls. We now know it's true.
Yep.
Alex has been right again and again and again, ahead of the curve. And I will defend Alex against those critics, because the critics are just, they're lying about him. He's been right again and again, and if you listen to Alex, he's warning us about things that are yet to come that will be obvious in a couple years.
Yeah, you know, and I can't help but notice, Mike, what the mainstream media occupies its time with, it's either continuous coverage of the Trayvon Martin case, or it's gay marriage, or it's abortion rights. It's like, let me just say something about Trayvon real quick. It's a disaster. It's a tragedy when any young man loses his life. If anybody loses their life for any reason other than natural causes, and I don't mean a bullet penetrating your hide either, of course, you know, if your bullet penetrates your head, then naturally you're going to die. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that this kid, whatever his character might have been, maybe he was a rough boy, you know, maybe he was involved in some things that are a little on the shady side, has been suggested repeatedly, but, you know, that's a rough way to check out. However, as martial arts master said, every physical confrontation is potentially life-threatening, so avoid that stuff. You just have to avoid that. And still, you have to ask yourself the question, why is the mainstream media fomenting racial discord? Why are they concentrating, trying to keep, it's almost as though by design they're trying to keep the civilian population all messed up and in a twist over this, while, in my opinion, much more monstrous stuff is happening right over there behind that curtain. But, oh, they don't want to look at that. Now they're all scared because it's turned out that the Fed's been listening to them. And so I suspect that in the future, some of them are going to back off even more. And the ones who really are, you know, gutsy and are truth seekers will come forward. And they'll be taking the heat when, instead of a unified front of going, "Hey, listen, I mean, is this constitutional republic of ours going wrong or what?" And keeping that pressure on, they don't do it. They go to more popular issues, which in the end are going to add up to nothing. I mean, what do you care about those sorts of things when, you know, it's like Dirty Harry said, we got our finger in the dam, in the dike, and the whole dike is collapsing around our finger.
Right, right. Sorry to talk over you there. I got a slight delay, but I completely agree. The trial of Trayvon Martin is an engineered distraction from issues that are far more relevant to the lives of everyday Americans. You know, we did a little experiment, John, on our website. We ran an article on race. We ran an article on gay marriage. We ran an article about the Zimmerman trial. And then we ran one about a celebrity, Lady Gaga, with some crazy news that we made up. And we told people it was fiction later. It turns out the issue that created the biggest outcry among readers that was completely irrational was race. It wasn't gender. It wasn't celebrities. It wasn't gay marriage. It was race. And I believe that that Washington is race baiting on a massive scale. And I think the televising of this trial is part of that. I mean, regardless of what you think the merit is of the prosecution or the defense, the big issue is that we are being divided. They want us divided so we don't see what's happening behind the curtain, which is that we're all being poisoned with GMOs. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, you name it. We're all being poisoned with fluoride in the water, with radiation that's still coming over from Fukushima. We need to be united as people of all colors and backgrounds and religions and beliefs against the system that is murderous in its intent against the people. And that's what they're trying to prevent us from doing. They don't want us to have anything resembling unity.
Yeah, you know, I make references to motion pictures a lot just because a lot of people have seen them and they can relate to them. But I'm afraid that if this continues unabated, somebody's going to make a mistake and they're going to shoot the wrong kid. It'll be accidental. It'll be on a par with killing that man's dog. Reasonless, I might add. And then it's going to start, and it's going to make this thing in Egypt look like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. That's what I'm afraid of. Mike, I'll tell you a story real quick. I didn't want to take up the majority of the hour talking myself, but years ago, a man and his son in Texas were hunting, and they observed that a state trooper had pulled somebody over, and the trooper and the suspect get into a fight. I mean, the man and his son, they can see this. The suspect gets the gun away from the trooper, and he's standing over, and he's about to shoot him. And this man with his deer rifle took this suspect out and saved the trooper's life. Isn't that what our police officers would want us to do for them? Shouldn't we just take a moment to say, we want you to be the good guys. We want to rely on you. We don't want to fear you. We want to feel that you're going to help us. Not that we're going to be caught in the crossfire. I mean, how many people got wounded up in New York City when that character comes out with his 45 or whatever? I think 9 people got shot while the police is just raining bullets down at him, and they don't hit him, but they hit the other people. I mean, this is crazy. Right. We just need to rein this in a little bit.
There you go. I completely agree. And we started out the show talking about police gone wild, but I want to make sure before we wrap up this hour that we need local cops and sheriff deputies who will abide by the law. I mean, if it wasn't for the police locally that were actually trying to do a good job, all of our cities would be in complete chaos. They would all be run by criminal gangs and mafia. So to the men and women in blue that are abiding by the law and trying their best to protect people, work in a system that even they know is increasingly corrupt, they deserve honor and dignity and thanks for doing
their
job.
Yes, they do. This is not a cop bashing session at all.
No, not at all. What our concern is that when cops become, well, first of all, chemically speaking, I know a lot of cops that are on a lot of steroids now. You know, the term is roid heads, roid rage, and a lot of cops are doing this to get the muscle mass that they think they need to go into hand-to-hand combat or be dominant in a physical encounter. And it's affecting their behavior. And you've got the federal training on top of that and the equipment that's coming in, the military equipment. It's a recipe that tends to ratchet police towards an escalation of encounters. And that's the opposite, John, of what police should be doing. They should be trained, and they used to be trained, to de-escalate every encounter. They bring guns to the scene to make sure that no one gets shot and hurt. They use guns to de-escalate violence. That's what police do when they're responsible. When police, like that California cop who shot the dog, when they use a gun to escalate violence, they are not following the philosophy of what local policing should be.
Yeah, and I mean, these guys have to, and girls, they have to deal with, like, the crack whack job who shoves his baby into a microwave and turns it on because it was crying too much. They have to deal with stuff that we can't even imagine. They walk in on crime scenes that are much worse than anything you're going to see in, like, Scream 9, you know what I mean? And I'm sure there's a psychological aspect that it's like, well, they're arming us up and they're training us. And good Lord, we got the feds training us and everything else. And there's imminent terrorism everywhere and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's got to put the zap on somebody's head.
Well, you know, police know more about human nature than psychologists, I believe, because, like you mentioned, police see these things. They don't trust people for very good reason, because they know that most of the people they encounter are lying or deceiving or violent or criminals or insane or some, you know, some variation of that. So they do see the worst of humanity, and so they might be a little trigger happy. But again, the problem is when that spills over into innocent lives, innocent men and women, like this woman who bought cookie dough and bottled water, and then the ABC cops, the Alcohol Bureau Enforcement Division, six non-uniformed men rush her car. One of them draws a gun. She drives away. They charge her with felony crimes. Wouldn't you drive away? I mean, I would drive away over. Or even maybe pull my gun if a bunch of guys rushed my car.
That's not a very good idea. At my birthday party, they decided to say happy birthday rather than surprise. They thought that might be met with something they didn't expect. So they went with happy birthday instead of surprise. Yeah, I'm with you. And the thing is, all right, let me ask you this because we're getting short here. What can you suggest, Mike, as a way to improve relations between the police department and the citizenry, knowing that they've got everything from, you know, 30% of the prison population is apparently illegal immigrants who did not come here to get a better life. They came to take the better life away from somebody else by criminal means. They're dealing with that. They're dealing with the threat of terrorism. They're dealing with people who are despondent, off their medication, on too much medication. Just had a breakup with the wife. Just had some sort of a tragedy, some life-changing problem. They're depressed. They just got fired, losing their homes and all that. What do you reckon we can do to smooth things out a little bit and reestablish that community bond between the police, who are not the army? They are private citizens whom we have nominated to look out for us and act as our domestic security.
Two things I would say. One is to stand our ground politely but firmly, to let police know they cannot arrest us for filming them in public. It's not illegal. They cannot just break into our homes whenever they want, like they did in Boston. Somebody in Boston should have said, no, show me a warrant if you want to come in my home, otherwise go away. Yeah, they might have been arrested, but they should have stood up and they would have at least had a case later on. But the second thing that you can do, and many police departments and many sheriff offices across the country have citizens on patrol type of programs where you can go through a little bit of training with the police department to be familiar with what they do. They give you a little bit of training. You can call in if you see something. I'm not saying to go to work for the police, but I'm just saying get to know them a little bit. They get to know you. You understand the challenges that they're up against, which are very substantial, by the way. And they get to know you and who you are and are less likely to abuse citizens when they are interacting with citizens more on a face-to-face basis. I also suggest moving out to the country, getting away from a city, and just having a sheriff and get to know your sheriff. Find out, can you help the sheriff's office in some way? Most sheriffs are great men and women. They really are. And they're trying to uphold the law. I think they're the last ditch defense against tyranny in this country. People like Sheriff Richard Mack, for example, yep. A great American hero. Let those sheriffs know we support them.
Great chat, Mike. I appreciate you very much. Come back soon, will you?
Thank you, John. Yep, you betcha.
All right, Mike Adams, naturalnews.com. He is the Health Ranger. He is Mike Adams, and Peter Lance is next on Coast to Coast AM.